Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello. Welcome back, everybody. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment, you know, like music news.
Nice. Nailed it, baby. When are we getting our Radio Emmy? Are they going to syndicate this show?
I hope so.
Donna, do you know that you just played the wrong intro?
Yes.
She does not. No, okay, she does not.
I did.
She does not, everybody.
Here's the thing. So our label, okay, so we have like little, let's just call it, what would you call it? Like a Brady Bunch boxes, right?
Yeah.
All I saw was the T, and I just crossed my fingers and went, please be the right one. Please.
Did you know as it was playing that it was the wrong one?
I assumed that I hit the wrong one, and then I forgot I hit the wrong one, all okay. In the same 5 seconds. Let's try it again.
Give me a beat!
Yeah!
It's time to talk music.
All right.
With Donna Valentine.
Yeah!
And Steve Patterson.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
This is the beat.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
I am a human being.
Yes.
I am not a realtor.
That's a reference to Pauly Shore. Sort of. It seemed like he accidentally threw shade at realtors.
Yeah, he's like, this isn't real estate.
What, you mean the
I'm
thing where people help people navigate a very personal home buying process?
Right.
Anyway.
I know.
But yeah, you are. Listen, I've asked for the bar, the button bar, the little Brady Bunch thing to push things so that I could add sound effects,
never
play intros, etc. I outright asked for it, both on air as a truth-rooted bit and off air as an actual request. Mm. And I was turned down multiple times.
You can't be trusted. It's okay. You're good at other things, even though I'm still bad at this. Anyway. Kelsey Ballerini, big country star. You know what? We'll
wanna
have
play
to,
it?
Yeah, let's play it and then we will link this up.
We'll the audio's a little bad too, so you just kind of have to listen, but try to listen to what the audience is shouting at her. So let me what she's saying. People are yelling sock to her. Kelsey Ballerini is in just some fancy dress with some hangy things on it.
Fringe. Like it's called fringe.
Okay. and she has a sock that is on it. And this comes less than a week after we talked about accidental wardrobe malfunctions because I was on vacation last week. And reached down and touched the back of my pant leg while I was at a restaurant.
Right.
Felt a clump and realized that in fact, was an extra pair of underwear that was somehow now in the leg of my pants.
Clump.
I had underwear on and then that. So then we had people calling in talking about, oh, my husband works in the ER and wears scrubs. And my pair of underwear from the laundry were just stuck on the back of his scrubs all day. Kelsey Ballerini went out with a sock, just a gray no-show sock is kind of what it looked like.
And she's wearing this beautiful gold glittery outfit. It's like a onesie. She's wearing like a onesie that's a short set. So
yes.
They're like shorts with a fringe jacket. And oh my God, the
it's
sock hanging
such
off
a,
the fringe jacket.
Such a human moment. And then she says, I feel like Sully from Monsters, Inc. To which one very well-watched Pixar fan in the audience immediately yells out 2319, which is the code that they use because one of the monsters went into the room in an early scene, comes out and is like, well, another good day at work in there.
Oh,
and then
cute.
He has a sock on his back, Donna. and they are afraid of things from the human world.
Oh, right.
And so 2319 means suddenly emergency. People in hazmat suits come around him, they shave him, they stitch him up, the whole thing.
Adorable. That's very funny. Very, very funny. Now this. We'll stay in the country realm for a moment.
Okay.
So if I told you Tim McGraw has a leprechaun tattoo, what would be your first thought?
You know, who am I to judge? Tattoos, people have get tattoos for weird reasons, sure. And it's art, whatever.
Right. I know, but if you've got like Porky Pig on your inner thigh, aren't you going to be like, what? Why?
Yeah, Yosemite Sam on the small of your back.
With the guns going, back off!
Boy, he had a temper.
He sure did. Anyway, so here's the thing. He's got a bunch of tattoos. He's got his wife's name on his arm. He's got his kids' initials. He's got his band's name on his something. Anyway, he and his brothers got leprechaun tattoos years ago in New Orleans. He said, the reason is his dad, Tug McGraw, liked leprechauns. I'm assuming he's talking about Tug McGraw, who's not his brother's father, I don't believe. But anyway, Tug used to have a leprechaun necklace that he wore. And that's why he got it. And that's why his brothers have it as well. He said, mine has a black cowboy hat on. But even Tug, he loved St. Patrick's Day so much that during spring training on St. Patrick's Day, he would wear a green uniform while pitching on the mound. Oh. And Tim has the green Phillies uniform that his dad wore. Very cool story there.
How often do you look at your tattoo?
Never. It's hideous.
Donna.
That's why it's on my back, so I never have to be reminded.
Is it on your back or is it on
back. It's on my lower back.
Not on your butt.
Not on my butt. It's on my back. Okay. Although, I mean, one and the same, actually.
It all blends together.
It's all flat.
Donna.
But.
I do feel like I wish I could live an alternate lifestyle where I could on and off switch a sleeve tattoo. Now I know they have those. I'm not going to be one of those goobers who wears the actual like neoprene sleeve that you can wear.
The Ed Hardy thing.
Yeah, it's like it's cool if you're doing a costume.
You should get a tattoo. Do a family, do you have like a family, what do you call it?
Crest.
A family crest, and then you can put your kids' initials?
We do. The Patterson name has a family crest, and I used to think in high school, I was like, I'm going to get that tattooed on my back.
Why not?
Cause regret. I think I was forecasting future. I don't think I want a tattoo. I think you got to really want a tattoo. I don't think you should ever get a tattoo if your position on a tattoo is... I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a good time to make an ink decision in your skin.
But listen, here's how I see it. Somebody could identify my body now.
I swear. God above that I'm worried about her.
Hey, sorry, friends. Donna just got dark again.
Why don't you you could make it very literal, too. It could just be like your own ID card.
Oh, sure. Your social security number.
Yeah. Dental records. Oh, let me see your tattoo. What does it mean? It's in case I'm found. Posthumously.
It's happened before.
People if you start basing your decision off of it's happened before, that you're going to make a bunch of dumb decisions.
This is in retrospect. It's not the reason for getting the tattoo, but I mean...
We're out of time, but I got a question for Mike when we come back.
Oh, boy.
I got a question for Mike. Also, how many times can you wear your PJs, your jeans, your socks?
According to experts.
Before washing them? Also, I have a random laundry tip for everyone, free of charge.
Fine.
So we'll get into all that fun. That when we return, it's Donna, it's Steve, it's my talk.
Welcome back to the program. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, where talk is fun. Steve has a question for the Big Z. I'm curious myself to find out what this is.
Well, it would have fit better last segment, but beggars.
That's okay.
Can't be jizzers.
That's okay.
Mike, you heard Donna talk about considering getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
So that authorities posthumously
yes.
could identify her body.
Sure.
Or my family.
I guess my question is, you've been around her a while now.
Mm-hmm. I have been.
I think my question is, you see it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to leave thinking she's a bit dark, deranged.
There's a lot of darkness there, yeah. In a great way, though.
Oh, of course you would say that.
No, it's true.
That's what they all say. She once said, Mike, that she watches Dateline when I was critiquing why she watches Dateline so much and suggesting that it could contribute to one's overall view of life, right?
What you focus on. I never said that.
No, I haven't even gotten to what you said yet, Donna. I'm saying it can contribute to how you view life. If you binge Dateline a lot, you walk around grocery stores saying, I bet he's going to kill his family someday. This is just what happens.
No.
But Donna, as I was critiquing it, saying this could be maybe not doing great things long term for you, she said that it's her form of self-help to know what not to do or how to kick the taillight out when you're stuffed in a trunk, etc.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
We just recently had a study. Listen, these true crime podcasts, books, TV shows are popular because people are watching them and reading them and listening to them. It's not just me. So I'm not the weirdo. Maybe, perhaps, you're the weirdo.
I'm the weirdo?
It could be. And the study that we recently had showed why women especially like these, because it's almost like facing your deepest, darkest fears and also getting knowledge. Like, you learn. How did that person end up in that position, in that situation? How did they get out of that situation? What's wrong with that guy? Like, what were the warning signs that were missed? It's just, it's very cerebral. It's very captivating. It's not like enjoyable. It's not like, oh my God, I love this show. You can't really describe it that way.
I call your bluff on that.
It's just, they're well done, well explained. Their stories, they're true. Can I get a backup on the line or something? 651-641-1071.
Because now your echo chamber is going to call. Your echo, of course, they're well done.
Or let's get both sides. Let's get someone on Steve's side going, yeah, that's garbage. I don't watch that. And here's why.
The suggestion that I was making was if you watch a lot of it, it is not helping you prepare for what to do when you, by the way, probably never, ever, ever get kidnapped. Instead, it's sort of planting these seeds of darkness inside of you that is not self-help. She poo-poos a self-help book that actually talks about changing your life, taking ownership, getting out there, doing better. And instead, she's like, well, maybe if self-help means watching the first 48, then yeah, help me.
I mean, that's how I feel. We all get to the same place in different ways. Remember when Matt Belanger told me that he was like, who's abducting you? And I was like, how dare you?
Super mean.
He goes, haven't you aged out of that?
Oh, man.
And I'm like, wow, that's insulting.
Whoa.
I think I'm abductable. Let's go to the line. who do we have, Mike?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Guten Tag. Hi.
Probably a kidnapper. Hi, you're on My Talk. Would you like to abduct Donna?
Stop it.
Oh, I'd probably be in the car with her because I feel the same way.
Okay, so do you like true crime. True crime.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Times, because it is a self-help. If you think about it, you're watching what's happening. You're missing signs. They're missing the signs. And it's like, okay, I'm catching something that they're not seeing. How come that woman didn't see it? Or whatever. Yeah, I watch true crime.
Or too. How could she marry this guy?
Yes,
I mean, clearly correct. There were red flags.
Like, are you kidding? Steve, you're totally wrong.
Okay, all right.
You know, I have a friend who was, thank you for calling, by the way. I have a friend who very similarly, he was like, why do you always have to go dark? And I'm like, these things are happening right under your nose. And we were talking about something really heavy, and this has to do with children. And I said, do you know how many people I know who have had this happen to them? Literally the next day, we get into this big argument. The next day, Sandusky, that whole thing broke. And I was like, it's happening everywhere. You have to at least not be completely ignorant to the fact that there's danger.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm suggesting, just to be clear, is not that one be ignorant to what's happening. It's not cover your ears, la, 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 la. I'm talking about how the jokingly, I'm approaching this jokingly because Donna once referenced it as like quasi self-help, that it is what it really does, I think, is you can have it in a dose and know what's happening.
Sure.
But when you continue to go back to the well, you're not becoming an expert. What you're becoming is paranoid.
No, that would I'm not be my paranoid. I just feel interested and have a better sense of awareness. There is someone supporting you on line three. We've got Alan. Hi, Alan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Support me, Alan.
Just for the sake of argument, it's your Steve. Let's just make that clear right now. I'm with Steve. I mean, how long have these types of shows been on? And yet there are still people who managed to get caught.
Yeah, because they weren't watching.
They weren't viewers through the exit interview. In their casket, on their deathbed, the pastor comes in, reads them their rights, and then they say, real quick on your viewing habits. Oh, you watched the Marie Kondo Spark Joy thing. Mm-mm-mm. Bet this moment isn't sparking joy, is it?
Thank you, Alan. Let's go to Shannon, and we'll let Shannon have the last word. Hey, Shannon.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I need to support you, girlfriend.
Thank you.
I am a paranoid person. I'm deathly afraid of these types of shows for that reason. I don't want to go over the edge. My 24-year-old daughter, however, watches them like crazy, like you do. And then reports back to me, Mom, did you know this could happen? Did you know that could happen? You have to be careful about this. So she is using it, as you are, as a way of educating herself on what to watch for.
Yeah. I mean, you go to a bar, you think you're just getting a ride home with somebody. Next thing you know, lights out.
Right, right. And she always says, Mom, you're too Minnesota nice. You would fall for this scam. You would fall for that. If someone said, oh, hey, you know, can you help me with this or that? Mom, you would say yes in a minute. And then I point out, but I'm a 57-year-old woman. They don't want me. They want you, the young, beautiful girl.
Donna, I feel like...
thank you, Shannon.
I feel like I just received a call from Donna. But this is just Donna with
that
a
last
daughter.
Part.
But that's right. Just you. It's like bizarro Donna.
I have to tell you, though, I don't watch nearly as much as friends of mine do. I mean, they're like, you don't know about this show on, I don't know if it's on ID. And I'm like, no, I've never seen it in my life. And they're like, how could you not? They binge watch. They record them all. I watch Dateline. That's about all. I couldn't even watch the Dahmer story that when that came out. That was just too much. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you.
They are well done. That can't be argued. It's a well-told story.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think in doses. I think that you can learn all you need to learn in like a news story as opposed to binging all the episodes of it. Sure. I just feel like society-wide, we have an interest in darkness. There's just like, we like darkness, death, destruction, murder. We like watching about it. Just go look at Netflix and Hulu if you think I'm lying.
Yeah, no.
Are they largely happy and positive shows or negative destruction-y shows? I'll hang up and listen. All actually, right. No. Somebody needs to call us. 651-641-107. We're going to play. Next.
Alrighty. Got a caller on the line. It is just about 10:30, and we're going to play a little game.
Time to go to college.
It's time to attend the College of Pop Culture Knowledge.
It's like quiz ball.
Three trivia questions to find out who's smarter. Donna.
Donna's a smart one.
Or Steve.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
And here's your host, Mighty Mike.
I want to see how smart you are.
We're going to find out how smart the two of you are, as today the College of Pop Culture Knowledge is going to be celebrating that ratio of the circumference of any circle to the diameter of that circle. It is National Pi Day.
Yeah, woo!
314.
Let's go.
Woo-hoo. Mr. 405.
It's a 314.
And we've got Annie on the line to play with us.
Hi, Annie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Oh, we're having fun.
Really good.
You know, Donna, have you ever watched the I Survive show? That'll teach you some life lessons.
Here we go.
I think I have. Yes. Some of that's really dark.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's how you're going to like
I'm like licking my chops.
I feel like all the, yeah. Donna just popped a blood capsule in her mouth just to feel it rush out. All right. Well, listen, you deathmonger, here's the deal. We're playing a game now, and we want to win you a shirt. It's all about pie. Today is National Pi Day, March 14th, 314. Who would you like to team up with? The topic is pie, not who do you want to be buddies with and watch shows with.
Well, I called last week because I'm Team Donna for taking down Team Pruderson.
Yeah.
I want Donna to get all caught up again.
Yeah, let's
take
do
that
it.
Lead.
All
What's
right.
the score, Mike, again?
The score is Steve 28, Donna 21 after a victory to start the week yesterday.
Okay.
All right, let's close the gap.
Let's do it.
All
by the way, to be more specific, it's mathematics is what the theme is going to be. It's truly the pie. So that's what we're going with.
No.
Yeah, you want to change who you're going with, Annie?
Oh, no.
Not a chance.
Wow.
Okay.
We'll put Annie on hold as well. Steve stepping away here. And we will get things going again. Mathematics in pop culture.
All right.
Pie, the true pie. Are you ready, Donna?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Let's start things off with this one. It's a long one. Stay with me.
I don't want to.
This 2014 World War II film about a real-life legendary mathematician, Alan Turing, was up for 8 Academy Awards, including supporting actress for Keira Knightley, leading actor for Benedict Cumberbatch, and Best Picture. Its lone Oscar was for adapted screenplay.
I don't know.
The albums of him have all had math symbols, including plus, multiply, divide, equals, and the upcoming album Subtract. His record-breaking tour was titled The Divide Tour.
That is Ed Sheeran.
This 2008 film was based on the true story of the MIT blackjack team that used card counting to win hundreds of thousands of dollars in Las Vegas casinos.
Oh, gosh. Shoot, I don't remember. I don't remember what it's called. I need help.
All right.
I'm just gonna go get help.
Okay, sounds good. You're gonna get help from Annie. So Annie, I'm gonna pull you up here. You heard the questions. Donna did not have an answer for that first one, so I'll run through it again. I'll give you the highlights. 2014, it's a World War II film about legendary mathematician Alan Turing. It was up for 8 Academy Awards, including supporting actress for Keira Knightley, leading actor for Benedict Cumberbatch, and Best Picture. Its lone Oscar win was for adapted screenplay. Any idea the name of that movie?
No.
That's okay. Right. That's okay.
And how about she went with Ed Sheeran on that second one? You okay with that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then the last one, this 2008 film was based on the true story of the MIT blackjack team that used card counting to win hundreds of thousands of dollars in Las Vegas casinos. Any idea?
No.
Yeah, I don't know.
Any guess? Because there's no guess at all. Just pick. What's that?
I'm so unhelpful. I'm sorry.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll just go to Steve. Hope
we'll go
he
to
does
Steve.
Poorly
Bring
as well.
Him up here. Annie, you're going on hold. Steve will work his way back in here.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, Steve.
Right.
How's it going?
Good. Just reading about that the banking stocks. Should we be buying some banking stocks right now? Buying the dip, Donna?
I don't know, Steve.
You know it, lady.
All right, let's do it. It's mathematics and pop culture. Steve, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, we'll start things off with this one. This 2014 World War II film was about real-life mathematician Alan Turing. It was up for 8 Academy Awards, including Best Supporting Actress for Keira Knightley, Leading Actor, for Benedict Cumberbatch, and Best Picture. Its lone Oscar was for Adapted Screenplay.
Pass.
His albums have all been math symbols, including plus, multiply, divide, equals, and the upcoming subtract.
Ed Sheeran.
This 2008 film was based on the true story of the MIT blackjack team that used card counting to win hundreds of thousands of dollars at Las Vegas casinos.
Say that one again.
This 2008 film was based on the true story of the MIT blackjack team that used card counting to win hundreds of thousands of dollars at Las Vegas casinos.
Something about aces. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson. Go to the first question.
It is this 2014 World War II film about real-life mathematician Alan Turing. All right.
That was miserable.
All right. The first one.
I knew nothing.
That move. Actually, we'll go to the middle one because you both crushed it. Ed Sheeran, of course. Yep. The Divide Tour.
Yeah.
He also has an upcoming tour called Mathematics because he's apparently obsessed with math. Okay. The first one, 8 Academy Awards it was up for in 2014, including Best Picture. Benedict Cumberbatch, he played an English mathematician trying to figure out the German code during World War II. The Imitation Game was the name of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
Imitation Game. And finally, the 2008 film was based on the true story of the MIT blackjack team. You had the wrong film, Steve. This one was with Kate Boswell and also Bosworth and also who else was it? Well, Kevin Spacey was in it, unfortunately. 21 was the movie.
Oh,
21.
Darn it.
Oh, I actually saw that.
Did you?
No.
Okay. Lawrence Fishburne? Yeah.
No. Nice follow-up, Mike.
I was thinking of a Sean Penn movie called 21 Grams.
Well, with that, we're going to OT.
I saw the trailer for 21 Jump Street.
There you go.
I like pie.
So we're going to the tiebreaker now.
Okay, can we get Annie back?
Annie's back. Hi, Annie. You hear us again?
Hello.
It's going to be a little tiebreaker here. Again, we know the math is the theme today. I'm going to play a song, and now I'm looking for the artist. Who's singing said song?
Oh, no.
I'm playing
name
a song.
Name is your buzzer.
And I'm willing to bet nobody on the line has ever heard this song before, but
we're looking for the artist?
You're looking for the artist, yes.
Oh, boy.
But you should be able to come up with the song, and you'll know why once you start hearing it. Here we go. Let's see if tiebreaker number one will get it done. Again, ring in with your name. Your name is your buzzer.
Regular. Let's start with Steve.
Steve?
Jimmy Buffett?
It's Jimmy Buffett.
Wow.
No way.
Wow. Eat it, Annie.
What's it called?
It's called Math Sucks.
Oh, funny. Wow.
This is from 1999. And,
darn. Well, Steve is very good with
cover story.
Yeah, with the hearing artist voices. Wow. I'm so sorry,
Donna.
Annie.
I got your back. I'll try again.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
Yep, you too, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Annie.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Hey. Darn. Now what's the score?
It's 29-21, unless Kaylee corrects me.
That's great.
Okay, but at least we're still, you know, in the same decade.
The same 10 numbers. Yes.
Yeah, we both have 20s.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is good. I feel hopeful. Thank you. Bye.
Time for a tip.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy.
Everybody on the show getting tipsy. Show getting
tipsy. I thought you were going to go like Hidden Figures. What's that movie with Robin Williams and the Goodwill Hunting?
Yep, that was on the board. Thought, the Beautiful Mind was kind of in the mix too. So
yes,
I guess I went a little too difficult. I apologize.
No. It's all good. You're doing
it was
a great
challenging.
Job.
It's good to have a challenge.
Yeah, make our heads do the work. All right, so here's my tip. Today being National Pie Day, there are a lot of great offers on pizza pies.
Pizza pie.
Papa John's, for example, has a buy one, get one deal. You got to be a rewards member. Buy a large one-topping pizza, you get the second for $3.14.
Cool.
So it's not
That's
exactly
fun.
A buy one, get one. It's a buy one, get one for $3.14. Thank you.
That's still fun.
Papa Murphy's has a deal on your next pizza. If you buy one of their specials today, you'll get a coupon for 31.4% off your next order. That's fun.
That is.
Uno Pizzeria and Grill. Do we have Uno's here?
I don't think so.
Remember
when was the last time you heard a friend say, I'm eating at Uno's?
No.
I believe the nearest is Wisconsin Dells, because I know that's the only time I've ever had it.
Well, missed that boat, Steve.
Yeah. Darn it, I was just there.
My first Pizzeria Uno was actually in Manhattan. I was so excited. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to Pizzeria Uno on a date.
Funny, I've never heard of Pizzeria Uno.
Really?
Really?
That was like the first like fancy pizza place. And by fancy, I mean like Fridays.
I can confirm the closest one is Wisconsin Dells.
Okay. Nice. Let's see, 7-Eleven rewards members. We don't even have those around here, do we?
You don't see a 7-Eleven often.
You sure don't. Let me see if there's any other ones around here, because otherwise I'm failing miserably. Schlotzky's, except no substitute skis. Do we still have one of those around here? Forget it.
This is a good segment.
No, wait, there's more. Whole Foods. You can customize an oven-baked pizza through their app starting at $2.99. That's good.
Donna's like, here are a list of tips. California Bagel Company, the only location in California, they have a sale. Also, Rhode Island Chicken House, which is, of course, in Rhode Island. They've got a sale today for pie. And finally, Krispy Kreme.
I thought I saw a lot more on this list.
Nearest Schlotzky's is Appleton, Wisconsin.
Darn it.
Just
okay.
Down the road from Green Bay, Wisconsin, which also has a Schlotzky's.
Pies. Wait, because there's got to be like Baker Square. There's got to be. Just stop. Just shut up.
Wait,
hold up. Just knock it off.
All right. You want me to say something while you try to find something that might be relevant to one of our listeners? Get this. On Pi Day, let us remember that at an event outside of Tokyo in the year 2006, Akira Haraguchi set an unofficial world record for reciting the most digits of pi, 100,000. Took more than 16 hours. How did he do it?
16 hours? That's how long it is?
That's how long it took for him to recite the 100,000 digits of pi that he could memorize.
Why did it take that long?
Okay, Donna. Do you think that you could recite 100,000 digits of pi in better time? The floor is yours.
16 hours?
Well, it's
that
a very...
just feels very lengthy.
Unbelievable. Donna, this is an extremely difficult... Okay. The man memorized 100,000 decimal points of a digit, of a number. Can I try the story again?
Is 100,000 words all that long? I feel like we talked at least tens of thousands of words during this show.
But Donna, we're not reciting some like abstract math formula. We're saying dumb stuff. He's saying, let me do this again. I'm going to read, it's only a little paragraph. I'm going to read it to you. And just for improv class, pretend that you're excited and like bewildered by how a person could commit to memory 100,000 decimal points in a row. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I believe in you. You know, at an event outside of Tokyo in 2006, Akira Haraguchi set an unofficial world record for reciting the most digits of pi. 100,000 took more than 16 hours. So how did he do it? Well, in his mind, he linked each digit with a syllable and created a collection of epic stories from the words those syllables formed.
Wow, that is incredible. Let me see if I could do some of it.
Here we go.
3.14159265 35897 93238. That's all I memorized. Can't do anymore. Thank you. And look, that only took me 10 seconds?
You're right, Donna. So apologies to any... Friends, what's up? Hey, Stevie Boy over here from my buddies at the Canopy Group. Coming up on St. Patty's Day, just a few days away. It's this Friday, by the way, in case you forgot. You've heard the term the luck of the Irish. Do you make practical decisions based on being lucky, huh? Do ya? Do you've got like one agent who represents, oh, I don't know, one company for your home and auto insurance? Are you hoping that they're lucky enough to have the best coverage at the best price forever? With just one single source, look, at the Canopy Group, they do it differently, okay? Look, they wish you the best of luck in your life, but they believe that you deserve more than luck when it comes to your home and auto insurance. You need to rely on a process. The Canopy Group process carefully selects their 40 professionals and then hand selects their 16 companies to run thousands of different insurance scenarios each month, and that due diligence and hard work results in the best coverage at the best price for Canopy clients. No luck needed, my friends, just a disciplined and dedicated approach to serving you. Remember, new clients enjoy an average savings of over $800 per year. Go to thecanopygroup.com.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. I'm super excited about the new teaser for The Bear. It's a show that stressed me out the first two episodes I watched.
Oh, but you powered through.
I powered through and I loved it. It's got a lot of heart. I believe, if I heard correctly, that this show is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know what, though? And I don't mean to disparage that number.
Okay.
But I think Mike knows this, too. I think he's kind of a Rotten Tomatoes guy. There's something skewed in the movie reviews versus television reviews. Point is, there are a lot of shows that have television shows that have extremely high ratings.
Okay.
And it seems like there's something weird there. Movie reviews rarely get super high, but television shows, it's much more common.
And it is 100%, but the one thing is the audience is also 91%, where sometimes that lags behind and is a little more representative of TV, so it does a better job.
Okay.
For example, Last of Us, 96%, 89 audience score. So just give some context.
Does it have to do with like how many, obviously, right? It has to do with how many people are critiquing and how many critics are...
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, that's why they do it as a percentage so that it sort of evens out.
Oh, okay.
But that makes sense. But I think that we talked about this a while ago. I want to see if I'm remembering it correctly. And so maybe this would work with The Bear as well, getting such high ratings. If something on Rotten Tomatoes gets a 100% certified fresh, let's say.
Okay.
It does not mean that everyone who rated it a 100% or a 10 out of 10. What it means is 100% of the people that watched it rated it, I believe it's a 7 or higher, could even be a 6.
I think it's 60% or higher. So it's okay, a 6 or higher.
So that means 100% of the people rated it on a scale of 1 to 10, somewhere between 6 and 10.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Like, there, for instance, The Order is another show that I've never heard of, 100%.
Okay.
71% audience score.
Okay.
Poker Face, 99%.
Wow.
The Devil's Hour. Donna, sounds like you're interested. 100%.
Poker Face, so good.
Yellow Jackets, 100%.
Wow, that's surprising.
The Glory, 100%.
Okay.
What's so that glory? It just feels a little skewed. I don't know. I'm just randomly scrolling on TV shows.
Anybody watch Mike the Bear?
The Bear. I'm where you're at. I got through two episodes, and I'm like, okay, I need a break from this real quick.
Yeah, because there's
I'll
a lot of yelling,
into it, and I haven't gotten back into it yet. I was also having some, you know, PSC. I was in that life for a while, so
you were.
I'm sitting here like, oh,
but
boy,
does it feel realistic?
Oh my goodness, yeah, very,
that's
very
what
much so. It
a
is,
lot of people say
that is what the kitchen life is like, 100%.
And then, like, the guy, the main character, who you might know from Shameless, can't remember the name of his character, one of the brothers, he's fantastic, and he has flashbacks. So, Steve, I wonder if you would like this. You might not like the yelling either, but once you get past that, the show has, like, it has a lot of heart. It's not like a fancy kitchen they're working in. It feels like you are, the camera work is crazy, too. You know, like they're just, it's kind of all over the place. But once you get used to that, you start to like really feel for the family and for
like
what they're trying
nightmares
to do.
I like Hell's Kitchen. I like those Gordon Ramsay yelly shows.
This feels like you are in the kitchen with them.
and like cool. you're about to be yelled at. You know, it's the way that it's very smart camera work mm-hmm. that's a little shaky, but it's very hard to explain. It's a really, really well done show.
Kitchens are so tight already, so you right. get that like idea of you're yelling, chef behind you, like they're running around with right. knives
they're
and dishes
not to
and
bump
they're on
into...
top of each other. Yeah.
So now say more about your past life. What kind of kitchen did you work
in? My parents owned a restaurant when I was a kid. Basically when I was I started working illegally as a child at like 12 and then continued until they sold it at 19. So
you were doing this
from dishes up to chef. Yeah.
Wow. Did,
was it your parents that were yelling at you in the kitchen? Who was yelling at you?
I had, early on, my father was back there, and he would get a little short-tempered, and so maybe those are specifically the memories I'm remembering from that show.
Right.
But he wasn't back there that long, so. But no one was, it was just the idea of how fast-paced it is and how.
Because you want to get things out on time, you want them to come out right.
Customers complaining about stuff and weird things.
And then you could feel the anxiety of the people who are doing the cooking. And they're like, come on, I need that. I needed that 5 minutes ago. What are you doing?
Yep.
And they're just all, I can imagine how hard people sleep after a job like that. Much respect. I feel like I have a new respect for people who work in the restaurant industry after seeing this show.
You never worked in the restaurant industry?
Never in my life.
Oh, yeah.
That's why...
I spent a little time in the kitchen. I don't know what you guys want. I haven't told you about that part of my career.
Which one?
It's called Citrus Grill. It was in Covina, California.
Mm.
And
Did you like it?
You know, there was an aspect of it. I like the camaraderie of the people that you work with. Our kitchen was pretty nice. There were nice people back there. It was busy. You're coming and you're going and you're moving and you're grooving. I worked there as a busser for probably... I don't know, maybe 6 months or something. All I know is I never got promoted to waiter. And the scariest moment of my life was when someone would order a bottle of wine and then I needed to take the bottle and uncork that son of a biatch. And I mean, oh my gosh, I was so scared.
Huh.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared.
Did you just slip into your Anna Delvey for no reason?
A little bit. No, I never worked in a kitchen, but we did a project down in Dirty a few years ago, restaurant. And again, new respect for people who are working in that kind of environment where you're like, their water always has to be filled, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the people, when you're taking the order, which you're not writing down, like...
Oh, those people. I always wonder, you're going to screw this up, right? You should be writing this down. Those people are amazing.
I agree.
The servers who don't take a pad out there. And then somebody, you know, you always got three difficult people at every party. And instead of the potatoes, could I just double down? Like, is it only au gratin?
Yeah, that's me. But I didn't know that each person at, let's say, a booth is assigned a number. So you're like, hey, one on table 14 needs more blah, blah, blah.
Oh, sure.
So every person from the... inside of the wall, you know, let's say from the inside, one, two, and then you go 3, 4 around to the other side. So, you know, if you're trying to communicate, you're like, again, table six needs
a refill.
Yep. And they, it's crazy, but I really thoroughly enjoyed that experience. Anyway, the Bear coming in June. Thanks.
Did you share the interesting tidbit about the Bear that I would have found
it was the 100%.
Oh, that good.
On Rotten Tomato. I didn't realize, that was faulty information. So
no, it's not faulty. It's just you just have to understand it. Again, it means 100% of the people say somewhere between 6 and 10, thumbs up.
Got
not 100%, give it 10 out of 10.
All right, I'm going to take off.
I'm going to take a break. We'll stretch our legs. We'll come back. A dirt alert from Zamboni. That's next.